Shogger, did you hit the red button instead of the green button? Or
I just decided I didn't feel like talking to you today, so Cassian and I could do the same.
Yeah, we could talk.
Sure. It was only that easy. Hey, you never...
about that. I was actually trying to disengage Bluetooth from my car because I parked, and somehow it hung up. So my bad.
Hey, did you find my microphone today?
I did, yes.
Okay, perfect.
Yes,
okay,
did find it.
Okay, good.
It was left negligently sitting out in the open.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, something that people would really steal in the media room. But I knew that trusty Ryan Rashog would not, so I thank you for that.
Yeah, I got your back, buddy.
Interesting, a few comments today from Todd Nelson about his goaltending,
McClellan?
Ryan. Yeah, I don't know why I keep saying Nelson, McClellan. In that, you know, hey, the team's starting to have some confidence. I had a really good conversation with Anders Nilsson about that, and it's very important. He feels he's got to show confidence in his teammates as much as they have to show confidence in him. Do you get a sense that we're not going to see, regardless of what happens tomorrow night, because Nilsson has played so well in his last eight starts, that he's going to play Wednesday, Friday, and then Cam Talbot might see his former team next Tuesday?
I think that when Nilsson falters, they'll go back to Talbot. I think he's been on the shelf long enough that they have to find him a start. And so I think, and honestly, Todd might just decide to give him a start just because. So I think that if he gets a win next game, then he probably ends up starting again the following one, but they're going to have to work Talbot in here somewhere. So either Todd just decides to throw him one, or if Nilsson falters a little bit, then they go back to the other guy. I don't know whether it's against the Rangers or not. I'm not sure if they're in a position to worry about that too much, but he does need to get a start here. He can't rot on the vine for too long.
Well, you know, it's funny... rot on the vine. And I totally understand what you're saying, but at the same time, Nilsson, even if, let's say they lose 3-2 tomorrow night, stumbling is not necessarily a loss. Stumbling would be a bad start in your mind, or is it a loss?
I think a loss would give Todd the impetus to make the change and get the other guy a game. I think he needs to try and, as good as Nilsson's playing, I think it's important you have options. And you have both goaltenders engaged. You can't have a guy who's just rusty and dusty and hasn't been used at all. You gotta keep two goaltenders engaged, because you never know when there'll be an injury. You never know when you might need somebody. So I think it's just good logic to try and keep both guys ready to go to a certain extent. And I get you gotta ride the hot hand, and that you're not in a position to take a lot of chances here. But I don't know. I don't think Talbot was so horrendous that they just can't possibly find a start for him somewhere on the schedule.
No, and that's what I was saying. But to me, it's going to be one of the back-to-backs on either Monday or Tuesday. I'm not sure there's a reason to go back to him before then. To be like, honestly, if he plays Monday or Friday, I don't think those extra few days rest in between are suddenly going to be the difference maker.
Yeah, no, you may be right. I chatted with Nilsson for a little bit today too, and did a piece on him for SportsCenter, and kind of I didn't really realize the entire history of what he's been through to get to the National Hockey League level. It was an interesting story. I mean, he was drafted, I think he was 69th by the Islanders, and then in his second year, he just started feeling like crap. He was exhausted all the time. He was sleeping 12 hours a night, waking up feeling nauseous, feeling terrible. Got to the point where he wasn't able to practice much. The doctors could not figure out what was wrong with him, and this went on for months.
And had gluten, wasn't it?
Yeah, he actually had to step away from the game entirely and try and figure this out. So it was a vitamin B deficiency and a gluten allergy. And so they were able to solve that, and then he got some of his game back. But then what he did after his third year, mostly spent in the American League, is the Islanders wanted him to sign a deal and play in the American League. He said no. He, against the team who drafted him, against their wishes, went to the KHL. He felt that's where he had to go, and it was a little bit of a gamble at the time. A lot of guys go over there, and you never see him again. But he went over there, and that's when they traded him. They traded his rights, I believe it was in the Leddy deal, to Chicago.
Yep.
And they cut bait on him because he went and did that, I would assume. And it was a gamble, but it paid off. He played really well in the K, and then obviously caught the Oilers' attention, and now here he is as a starting goalie. But some medical issues, a little bit of a career chance he took, and he has battled his way, and I think if you were to ask him, and for him to be 100% honest, I think he probably feels like he hasn't really had a chance to even hit his peak yet.
Well, they're definitely fair on that, and you know, I talked to him about going to the KHL and the conversation, and he was very complimentary of the Chicago organization earlier this summer, when, because they were honest. They said, you know what, son, we can't give you a one-way deal. We don't have a job for you in the NHL. There's not going to be one. We're not going to give you the, oh, come to camp and you can compete, blah, blah. They just told him flat out, there's not going to be a job for you in Chicago. They didn't want to give him a one-way deal. And they basically allowed him and his agent, you know, to seek some places. Edmonton looked it out. And then, of course, Edmonton and Chicago make the deal. And Edmonton signs him to the one-way contract of $1 million. And even if it doesn't pan out, he's still making $1 million. And it doesn't hurt against their cap. He's down in the minors, right?
Yep.
And he was complimentary of Chicago, but he also felt like, I like that Edmonton was, and he goes, sometimes teams will tell you, oh, yeah, there's jobs. Everybody's open to a job.
Sure,
and he goes, that normally isn't the case. He really believed that when he spoke to Peter Chiarelli, that you know, he trusted Chiarelli in telling that, honestly, yes, you come here, we are going to give you a legit chance to make the team.
Well, and the other thing, too, though, is they were putting up money. I mean, Matt, you know that. That makes a big difference. I mean, if Chicago's being straight up with him and honest about his opportunity and saying this is what we can't offer you, and the Oilers put a – and they're allowed to talk to him, that means they're allowed to talk and negotiate. The Oilers put one-way money on the table. I mean, that's just an absolute no-brainer, right? The Oilers are willing to sign him to a one-way deal and pay him NHL money for a year regardless of where he played. And they were truthful about the situation. They really wanted him to come in and compete for that backup job and to put pressure on Ben Scrivens. And now not only has he done that, but he's taken this starting job. He's run with it. He's playing the best hockey of his life and really making a case for being able to run with this thing for a while.
Yeah, I think it's great. And it, you hit it right on the head. Like you can't, as a player, you have an organization telling you that you're not going to get really an opportunity, you're not going to get a one-way contract, which is really rare that they actually straight up tell you that. Normally, you get the runaround, and you know, you don't really get anything out of it. But how can you not want to go after a one-way deal from a team and know that you know, no matter what, you are going to at least get looked at because you have that contract. You're going to get some semblance of an opportunity. So, you know,
do you think guys go to the KHL though, Matt, and think, okay, I'm going to go there for a short period of time, prove myself, and then get back to the NHL? How big a gamble is that to take, as opposed to just taking another deal with the organization that drafted you and going to the minors and starting like they want you to?
That's
a big risk.
It's a risk, but in some cases it seems to work. I think it has to be the right situation, and I think it has to be a situation like Chicago where you know you're not going to have an opportunity. So rather than just playing in the minors, you can go to another good professional league. Where you're rolling dice more is with Chicago and how they're going to react to it and what they're going to do, because they don't necessarily have to trade your rights or do anything. They can hold on to that, and then you're in trouble. But in some situations, it can be the right play, but it is – I mean, it's a pretty big risk you're taking, and for him, it seemed to pan out.
Well, work for Mark Giordano too, right?
Yeah.
I wonder a lot of it though, like the position of goaltender. Right? It's if you're a winger, you can come in and you can start on the third or fourth line and work your way up, right? You're a goalie, you're pretty, and especially if you want a guy who wants to play. Some guys come in and be the backup, but if you want to be a starter, you got to play a lot. And you know, for him, even in New York, because he told me even in their system, he felt like if he went to the AHL, he was only going to get split duty at best because they had another young guy.
Yeah, for sure. And he felt like his development had stalled a little bit, and so, you know, to have the confidence to say, and it was the Islanders at the time who had his rights and wanted him to go to the American League, to say, no, this is what I need to go do, and to go in a different direction, that takes a certain amount of confidence in his ability. But the thing about him is, I mean, you can't deny, once he got his health issues figured out, and, I mean, he's really cleaned up his diet, he's gluten-free, he's in fantastic shape. But, I mean, man, he's big, he's very athletic for a big guy, covers the net extremely well. And credit to the Oilers scouting staff. I mean, we crap all over that pro scouting staff every chance we get for some of the players they've brought in over the years. They might have found a real gem here. So credit to them for recognizing it and bringing him in. And really, he had I was talking to some people in the organization today. He didn't have a great World Championship. He was okay to start it and then really finished poorly at the World Championships. But his play in the KHL, they'd had eyes on him enough times in the KHL to believe in what he was capable of. And that's what earned him the look with Edmonton. And they had seen him enough, and they found him and brought him in. And now, I mean, this is what the organization desperately needs. I mean, how many times over the last few years, guys, have we talked about when are they going to have a sixth-round draft pick pan out? When are they going to be the team that goes and finds somebody that comes in and makes a difference? Well, you look at their lineup right now. I mean, they got a 20-minute-a-night defenseman in Brandon Davidson who was drafted deep into the draft, and a goaltender that they picked off the scrap heap. I mean, that's good development, and it's good pro scouting.
Jogger, it's good. Well, hey, you know what? Eventually, the Oilers needed a guy to come out of nowhere. We've talked about that for years, and Nielsen looks like he could be that guy. Obviously, it's still early. We'll see, but he's definitely all arrows are pointing up for him right now. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about what Jerry Fleming had to say about Griffin Reinhardt. Some interesting comments coming from the American Hockey League coaches saying, hey, the things he got to work on, moving the puck quicker, and he's got to be harder to play against in all areas of the ice. And he really went into specifics. It was great. If anybody missed it, I recommend they go listen to that. But you and I will discuss that. Because
I'll take a listen. We'll get into it for sure. Sounds good.
It doesn't just relate to Griffin Reinhardt. I think it relates to a few other young players in the organization as well. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Shogger, appreciate your time.
Okay, guys. Yeah, have a great one, boys. See ya.